Let's get into this. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, amen? Don't let sin resurrect again in your life. You're dead to it. Should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now last week we started looking at our rights to the healing power of God. The world's declaring it's flu season. We declare it's healing season. Amen. We're declaring no sickness nor disease shall inhabit our dwelling place, and that we're healed of every disease, every time, all the time. And if you get hit with something, you just pick yourself up and say, I'll be stronger next time. Amen. I am the healed. And here it says, by the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. Your healing has already been purchased by God. Amen. Everything that you need to receive of the healing power of God has already been positioned for us to freely receive of healing power. Amen. And last week we started talking about what does it take to be healed. We started talking about four requirements to receive the healing power of God. Amen. Four requirements. Requirement number one was you must believe that God is the healer. God is a healing God. Jesus came to heal. If you look at the life of Jesus through the portrayal in the Gospels we have, the number one thing you see him doing is healing. Amen. Preaching and teaching the kingdom and healing all that were afflicted of the enemy. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. He was doing good, not doing bad. Amen. And it says, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It says, in his doing good, the anointing on his life was there to heal all that were oppressed of the enemy. Every form of sickness, every form of discouragement, every form of affliction, Jesus was anointed with the power of God to redeem us from it, to deliver us from it. Amen? You look at the life of Jesus, he healed time and time again. And those who would want to say that God wants you sick, if God wants you sick, then we would see Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, putting sickness on someone. Amen? You'd have had a prayer line and he'd have healed the first three and made the next six sick. Because, they deserve to be sick or they needed to learn this lesson. He just said, no, God's still working in your life. You need to maintain that affliction. Amen. Keep your sickness. We never see that happen. We always see Jesus healing them all. So we must believe that God is the healer. Step number two we talked about is you must believe that God wants you healed. He wants you healed. Amen. Again, all these people that want to say that God's putting sickness on them or, God's teaching them a lesson through sickness. If God's trying to teach you a lesson through sickness, why are you taking medicine or going to the doctor to get rid of the lesson? I mean, if God's really got an instruction for you to receive through this, why are you trying to get healed? You should just say, God, make me sicker till I fully learn what you're trying to impart to me. Amen. The truth is, you don't believe God wants you sick. Amen. That's just an excuse. We know that God is the healer. Amen. Otherwise, we would embrace sickness and say, thank you, Jesus. Give me another. I've got the flu. Let me have diabetes as well. I just really feel like I need to learn a strong lesson from you. What a bunch of nonsense. God gave us the word to teach us lessons. Amen. Sickness is a result of not being surrounded or filled with the word of God. Amen. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all destruction. Amen. So step two is you must believe that God wants you healed. Step number three we talked about is you must believe that there's available a guaranteed process of healing. Now, we broke down healing into two types last week, two ways people get healed. One was the gift. You know, you may not even believe in God, may not believe in healing, but you come to church and somebody calls you out, they pray over you and you're healed supernaturally. That had nothing to do with your faith, had nothing to do with your walk with God, had nothing to do with how much Word of God was in you. It was all based on a free gift of God to show forth His goodness. Amen. And guess what? The gift of God's available for us to be healed. I've been healed many times through the gifts of the Spirit. I'll praise God for the gifts. But you have no guaranteed, knowledge that you're going to go to church and the gift's going to manifest. You know, we talked about the Benny Hinn meetings, and so many people that have terminal sicknesses go to Benny Hinn meetings, and they have no guarantee he's going to call them out. He may call out a group, but you may not be in the one numbered. And, you know, if you only go so long to live, you may not have enough opportunities to go to enough Benny Hinn meetings to get called out. There's no guarantee you're going to receive healing through the gifting, through somebody, you know, through a word of knowledge or through some impartation of that form. So if you really want to access healing for everything all the time, you need to know there's a guaranteed process. And that guaranteed process we've talked about is through receiving the healing by faith. That you know God wants you healed, you know He's the healer, and you know if I can just make a faith connection to the power of God, to the provision of God for healing, I will be healed. And so we see this somewhat with this woman with the issue of blood. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? And she'd spent everything she had been sick for 18 years and, you know, just kept growing worse, but she heard about Jesus. She heard about the miracles He was doing. She heard about the power of God. I'm sure she was just thinking about it all the time. My goodness, He's got the power I need. And she got the revelation. If I can just but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be healed. She had this revelation that if I can just get to Him, if I can just touch His garment, I'll access that healing power that's on His life. And so we look at the Greek where she said, if I can just but touch His garment, it's in the continuous verb tense. In other words, she kept on saying, if I can just but touch His garment, I'll be healed. And so she presses through the crowd using her faith. I'm talking about pushing aside all opposition, gets to Him, touches His garment, and because she made a faith connection, it wasn't out of the gift. It was a faith connection. Her faith locked hold of the power of God, and even though He was being pressed all around, I'm sure, with many people with needs, when she touched Him, because a guaranteed process was activated, that of faith, virtue came out of Him into her, and she was healed. And He stops the whole crowd for her to give her faith testimony. Amen. What's going on? She got it by faith. She kept on decreeing, if I can just get to Him, I'm going to have it. Well, guess what? We have a guaranteed process of receiving healing. Amen. We get the Word in us till a faith connection is made, until faith rises up in our hearts, and then we decree forth what mountain we need removed. Amen. You declare, I am healed of this situation. I'm recovered from this condition. Whatever it is, you speak it forth in faith and you stand until you get the manifestation of what you've spoken. Amen. And if you believe, Jesus said, if you'll believe, you can come out of a mountain and be thrown in the sea and it must obey you if you don't doubt, right? Well, I tell you what, I'm very much convinced it's a whole lot easier to get healed of a cold and the flu than it is to move a mountain into the sea. Amen. And if we will just believe God and decree what the Word says, because the power is in the Word, we will see the results of the Word in our life guaranteed. Because a lot of times when you go to step out on your faith, it's painful. It seems ridiculous. It seems like the illogical thing to do. But the Word of God says, faith without works is dead, being alone. So you step out and you do what you couldn't do before, or what was uncomfortable, or what your physical body says you shouldn't do. And as you step out in faith, you make that connection and healing cometh. Amen. for you to stand and not curse the promise of God? You know, to step out and try it for 2 hours and say, well, it didn't work, I'm just sicker. Amen. That's to curse your seed. That's to neutralize your faith. To hold on to what the Word says, you must believe it's guaranteed. You must believe it's guaranteed. You know, we used this example last week as well, but if I say anybody will bring me $50 after service, you know, I may be here tomorrow and I may pay you back $100. Well, I may not get many takers because I said I may be here tomorrow. Well, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to be in Hawaii tomorrow. Amen. And so you're going, wait. I know there's something wrong with that story. I don't trust us enough to invest $50 for the possibility of $100 back unless you just want to bless me. Amen. That's not a hint. You may not invest in that. But if I say, and I give you my word, I've given a stack of cash to Rebecca, whoever gives me $50 tonight, you'll have $100 tomorrow, just come and pick it up. I'll have $50 coming from all over the place. Amen. Or even if I say, give me $50 now, I'll give you $5,000 tomorrow. My goodness, you guys will be digging into you know the bottom of the purse and everything else, find what you can invest. Why? Because a guarantee came with it. A guarantee came that says, this will happen. And we talked about God's guarantee on the Word. He cannot lie. And the Word says all of His promises are yes and amen. So when God says He will do something on our behalf, when He says He has provided something that we can possess, you can know if you can make a faith link to it, you'll have it. Faith always works. Are y'all with me tonight? Faith always produces. Amen. So, the first three steps again. You must believe God is the healer. You must believe He wants you healed. Step two. Number three is you must believe you have a guaranteed process by which you can receive that healing. And step number four, we started on last week. Step number four is you must believe that all the requirements of your healing have been met. Do you follow me? All the requirements for you to receive whatever promise have been met. See, the enemy is an expert at trying to tell you that you've not been good enough. You're trying to pray for healing in your body, and the devil says, oh, no. You haven't confessed enough times. You know, remember when you ate that extra candy bar? This is because you ate that extra candy bar, and you broke that you didn't pray long enough. He tells you all these reasons that you can't receive healing. Amen. Or you really don't have faith, or you're not good enough. Usually goes back to the condemnation issue where He always tells you how you've not been good enough, not been spiritual enough. And you must believe if you're going to receive any promise of God, it's not based on what you do. It's based on what Jesus did. It doesn't say by your stripes you were healed. It says by His stripes you were healed. Amen. You must believe that all the requirements for your healing or whatever promise have already been met. Now, the promises were delivered to us through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus, amen, and through His resurrection. He made available to us all the promises of God that we could be joint heirs with Christ and receive of His goodness. But you must understand that when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God came inside of you. He took out your heart of sin and He put in you a heart of righteousness, amen, a heart made in the image of God. And He adopted you into His family. Amen. And because He's now adopted you into His family, everything that God has already belongs to you. Amen. If my kids come into the house and they say, Dad, can I have a glass of milk? I don't say, did you pray long enough? Are you following me? You know, can I just how about some water? Dirty water. Drink it out of a dirty cup. Dad, I just need something to drink. Dirty water. They're my child. They have access to every blessing in the house available to me for the most part. Amen. And so the requirements for us to receive of the power of God have already been fulfilled. You are already, because you've been made righteous, you are already in right standing with God. Once you receive Jesus, there is nothing you can do to put you in a higher level of right standing with God than you're already in. Amen? No amount of fasting, no amount of prayer, no amount of word time puts you in a higher state of standing with God than you're already in. But fasting, prayer, and the Word build your faith in the relationship you have to help you recognize it's already freely given. Healing is already given to us. It's free. It's just a matter of saying, God, I am your child. I freely receive the healing power of God right now. Understanding you have authority to command things, so you say, sickness, get off of my body. Amen. And you step into what God has freely given. See, for you to receive a promise of God, you must believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As long as you think you're a worthless, filthy sinner, that you've let God down, that you've not been spiritual enough, you'll never be able to receive. The number one block against receiving the blessings of God by faith is condemnation. The number one blockage. Amen. If not for condemnation, the voices of condemnation, you'd be able to easily receive what you've built faith for. Amen. But condemnation always comes in is that separator between you and God, trying to get you not to use your faith or to use your faith improperly or even to neutralize your faith. You can have faith and then just neutralize it. Give up because you listen to the wrong voices. Righteousness, knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, positions you to stand boldly before God and say, God, it's not based on what I've done in the past. It's not based on how good I've been, how well I've performed. It's based on you have given it to me, and I've spent time meditating your word, so I know it's mine. I receive it now freely. Did you follow me on that? You must know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in particular to receive healing. Because the devil's always trying to tell you how you're not deserving of that blessing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So, if I want to accelerate my ability to receive from God, in particular healing, if I want to be able to receive healing from God from every sickness, every infirmity, in an accelerated fashion, even where it can't even come on my body, it is vital to me, it's vital to you, to have spent time meditating that you have been made righteous. Amen. Righteousness revelation is like the catalyst to your faith. Amen. God gave you faith to make a connection between earth and heaven to receive of God's blessing. Amen. But I tell you what, condemnation is always just attacking that faith, trying to get you to let go. But righteousness forms a shield around your faith connection. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness that condemnation can't come through. Righteousness allows you to make that faith connection and know you have a right to what God said. It's freely given and you freely receive it, and you receive it now. Amen. Righteousness, revelation is the accelerator to your manifestation by faith. I don't know if that's the right word or not. It's the power God gave you to receive without opposition. Amen. Back before we understood righteousness, we would talk about using raw faith to receive. We would just press through condemnation. We'd battle it and say, no, in Jesus' name, I believe I receive. Your condemnation will hit us again. I believe I receive. We'd fast and pray and press through. And finally, we'd have that manifestation, come forth, running through condemnation, battling past it. Amen. But once you know you're righteous, condemnation can't even stick to you. It's like, the oil on the feathers of the duck, the water just rolls right off of that duck. Can't stick to you. Here we go. Righteousness is the Teflon to your faith system that condemnation can't stick to you anymore. So now when the enemy tries to throw all this mud at you, you go, no, I'm the righteous of God. Praise God, I freely receive. Oh, hallelujah. Before you knew righteousness, without the revelation of righteousness, here comes the enemy saying, you're not worthy of this. Oh, Pastor Jack knows you're not worthy. God knows you're not worthy. Jesus knows you're not worthy. Amen. You're not worthy. Everybody knows you're not worthy. And you go, I know. And maybe if I just read some more, I can get this deeper and I can get, you know. Praise God for word time. You follow me? But many times, the problem is not a lack of faith. You may have spent time meditating the promise. I mean, my goodness, hopefully you've spent time meditating the healing promises of God in here. Chances are, a good chance, the problem is not that you don't have faith for healing. It's that you don't have faith for your righteousness. And so much mud is gumming up your system, you can't get your faith to hold. I mean, you're trying to believe you receive, and the enemy's telling you everything you've done wrong for the past 10 years. So you're trying to carry all this muck that's sticking to you because you don't know you're the righteousness of God. You're trying to carry it through into the manifestation of promise. And it's hard. But when you get the revelation that you're a child of God, I mean, that you're a child of God, that Jesus spent everything to redeem you, that you're God's favorite. Can y'all get this revelation for a minute tonight? You are God's favorite. You are the righteousness of God. You're as righteous as Jesus. You get that revelation. Your faith remains pure. It remains connected. It remains intact. And you continue to freely receive in accelerated fashion. Do you see that? That's why it's so important we work the word regarding our righteousness. I like what Job said. My righteousness I hold fast. I shall not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. You refuse condemnation. Amen. You refuse for the enemy to be able to drag you through the mud. You develop the mindset, I am a king's kid, and I refuse to have a loser mentality. Amen. Work righteousness until you live it. So we're talking about receiving the healing power of God and how righteousness accelerates it. I want you to see this in the Word. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, we're to live holy lives. Amen? But I'm telling you what, there's no amount of holiness can ever establish you as righteous before God. Holiness is the outward action that's a result of an inward change that already took place when you were saved. Amen. And for you to live righteously requires you live with the revelation that you've been made righteous. Amen. You walk around with the new creation mentality. Oh, hallelujah. See, you got to put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and holiness, right? Righteousness and true holiness. You got to put it on. You got to say, I'm putting on a righteous mentality today. I am free from sin. I'm not who I used to be. I'm putting on the new man that's made in the image of God, and sickness and disease and every part of the curse is far from me. So when sickness comes, you say, wrong address, devil. Righteousness revelation is vital to step into the healing power of God. Numbers chapter 8. Now in Numbers chapter 8 in Numbers here, we have the children of Israel. Amen. And God's talking to them about the Passover services, about the atonement. And if we go to verse number 19. And I've given the Levites, that's the priesthood, as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement. Now, the atonement was the covering of sins for 1 year from Passover to Passover. Amen? The atonement was based on the sacrifice of the lamb made, the ritual that they went through, as a type of the cross, as a covering of sin for a year. Do you follow me? The cross was not an atonement, it was a reconciliation. Up until the cross, they had a daily atonement. A daily where that lamb acted as a sacrificial stand-in for sins until the true sacrificial lamb could come, which was Jesus. Did you guys follow that? So he says, I've given you the priesthood as part of the atonement sacrifice, the atonement ritual. He says, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, look at this, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. Now, the atonement is a type of the cross. The cross is what purchased for us our right standing with God, our righteousness with God. Amen? And he says, with this atonement, an Old Testament stand-in for the true Lamb of God that was to come, he says, with that atonement is a promise that no plague will be on the people of Israel. Oh, praise God. With the Old Testament Passover sacrifice was a promise of no sickness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we have a better covenant with better promises. With our New Testament reconciliation through the cross, Jesus on the way to the cross was beaten with that lash we don't know how many times. If you've seen the movie The Passion, where they strapped him to the post and they lashed him. Amen? He was beaten almost beyond recognition. And it says, through those stripes he received, in your New Testament, through those stripes he received, healing was purchased for us. Amen? By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed through the new covenant where you're made righteous and have available better promises. Through being born again at the cross, being made righteous, you've been repositioned in a system where healing is already set aside for us. Amen? Where God says, as far as I'm concerned, you are already healed. We are not the sick trying to get healed. We're the healed the devil's trying to get to make sick. You know, whenever symptoms hit my body, which will never be again in Jesus' name, amen, I never say I'm sick. I don't care if I have a temperature. I don't care if I don't feel like doing anything. I'm never going to say I'm sick. Amen. I'm going to say symptoms have attacked me. But I'm the healed. Because I don't want to call sick what God's called healed. By His stripes you were healed. Say what the Word says. Not saying that you lie and you puking everywhere and all this other stuff and they say you're sick. No, I feel wonderful. No, you don't feel wonderful. You're being attacked by symptoms. Amen. Declare that you're healed regardless of the symptoms. Amen. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the one with the rights to the healing power of God. Amen. Psalms 103. I love this word. Oh, the Word of God has everything we need. No matter what you're going through, the answer's in the Word, the promises in the Word, the power's in the Word. Amen? And you've been made a new creation, positioned to receive it. Oh, we ought to walk like we're somebody. We should never, ever give way to the enemy and hang our heads. We should walk around like we're winning and refuse to bow down to him in a single area of life. Amen. Always declare you're the head and not the tail. Above only and never beneath, right? Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Pastor Lee Fields always says the devil gives you conniption fits. God gives you benefits. Amen. Verse 3, look at this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, what does that represent to us, to forgive all our iniquities? That means God's made us righteous. When it says who forgives all your iniquities, that means no more sin. We should walk free of a sin mentality. Amen. You shouldn't be carrying around guilt and condemnation of sin anymore. You've been forgiven. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen. You say, God, I blew that. And you go on without condemnation saying, I'm in right standing with God. Amen. But once he says, who forgives all your iniquities, it says, and healeth all. Let's ponder that for one for just a second. Healeth all thy diseases. What's left out of all? Nothing. So no matter if it starts with a C or a D or an HD or whatever, amen. Heart disease, not Harley Davidson. Harley Davidson are signs of the blessing, not the curse. No matter what letter of the alphabet it starts with, you're healed. God says we are healed. All diseases. But notice the verse starts with, who forgives all your iniquities. Oh, let's go somewhere and look at this real quick. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Let's go to verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. There's the religious crowd, amen, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The anointing was there for healing. Amen. And I guarantee Jesus knew it was there. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Now, how many know they're in faith? They're in faith saying, we're going to rip up the roof if we have to. We're going to get this man to Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, they were making a faith connection. Amen. He said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, that's probably the last thing the guy was thinking about. He's a paralytic. He can't move. His friends are trying to get him to Jesus. Amen. They lower him down. He's thinking, oh, I'm going to be healed now. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. He's going like, what? Amen. What's this all about? But then the Pharisees rise up. Verse 20, when the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What are you doing? What are you pondering now? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? That ye may know that the power of man hath power, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God. Now, I believe Jesus addressed the sin issue with this man first, because I believe condemnation was trying to stand between him and his healing. Even though his friends were lowering him down, I'm sure the devil was saying, who are you that they would lower you down? Amen. You're not worthy that they would do all this for you. Amen. Remember all the things you've done wrong? Remember how you haven't been to the synagogue? You didn't tithe. You didn't do whatever. And Jesus sees the man needing healing. He knows he needs healing. But he knows to get the healing to him, he needs to remove any blockages out of the way. So the first thing he says is, your sins be forgiven you. Amen. Once the sin issue is addressed, the man receives forgiveness. Amen. Then when Jesus says, take up your bed and walk, it's an easy step over than to receive the healing power of God, because he knows the sin issue's already been dealt with through God's representative, who is actually God in this situation. Amen. Removing sin mentality takes away roadblocks for receiving your healing. And that what's easy, or what's interesting, is Jesus said, what's harder to say? Be forgiven or be healed? You know, we've been so programmed all of our lives with the gospel message of salvation that we know if somebody confesses their sins sincerely, God will forgive them and they'll be born again. Does anybody have a problem believing that? We've heard it all of our lives. If they'll just confess their sins, God will forgive them. They'll be born again. Amen. And, you know, their ticket will be stamped heaven bound. But then you take the same person and say, you know, you have the same authority to tell somebody they're healed. Who would I think I was to tell somebody they were healed? Well, the truth is, what's a bigger miracle? To have your physical body healed of a sickness, or to have your heart ripped out and a new one put in without sin? I mean, what is a bigger miracle, to have sin, the sin nature extracted from your life, and the God nature, the DNA of God, spiritual DNA of God put inside of you? What's a bigger miracle, that, or just all of a sudden you're not sick anymore? I think being born again is a whole lot higher level of miracle. But we've spent so much time focusing on leading people to Jesus, we know we have faith for that. And for one thing, we don't have to see any change in symptoms to verify it. And it's easy to tell somebody they're born again because you don't have to see an outward change right on the spot. But healing requires a manifestation. Amen. In the short-term future, there should be a shift in their symptoms. But we've not been programmed all of our lives to speak healing, to tell people you're healed. Amen. With authority and in faith. And so we've made it a whole lot easier to get saved than it is to get healed, when in fact it really ought to be the other way around. It ought to be so commonplace for us to recognize we are the healed, to have meditated as much as we did salvation. I mean, how much time in your life have you meditated salvation? The Bible says, if I just confess, I'm saved. I confess, so I know I'm saved. The Word says that I believe it. And so you receive the salvation experience. But it's as easier to receive the healing power of God. Amen. But first, to accelerate your healing requires you get the revelation that you've been saved, that you have rights to the healing power. Amen. That it's not based on your performance, it's based on His performance. Righteousness. God wants us to get this revelation. so we can walk around and just easily say, just like I'm saved, I'm healed. How many have had to talk to yourself before about being saved? All of us. Here comes the enemy attacking you. No, I confess Jesus. I know I'm saved. You know, if I was to come to you and say, you know, China, I don't think you're saved. I picked on her with this one before, I believe. She's going to say, the Bible says, I'm saved. I confess Jesus, you fool. I mean, you know. She's going to stand on what the Word says. Why? Because she knows it's in there. She knows it's the Word of God. And she knows she's done the requirements to receive salvation. It should be just as easy for us to say, I'm healed. Symptom is, I'm the healed. No. It's like somebody trying to tell you that you're not saved, to tell you that you're sick. You should be able to say, I'm as healed as I'm saved in Jesus' name. Sickness cannot stick to me. You tell the devil, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue. What you send to me bounces off me and sticks to you. I'm the healed, praise God. Teflon. Teflon faith. You know that it has no right to stay in your life. Psalm 107. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to Isaiah 53 instead. Have you got it? Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men. Who's this talking about? Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. See the word griefs there? In the Hebrew, that is the word sickness. It really should say, surely he has borne our sickness and carried our sorrows. The word sorrows there in the Hebrew is the word pains. He's taken our sickness and our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, where it says he was wounded for our transgressions, again, the Hebrew actual translation should say defiled. On the cross, he became defiled. Amen. He became sin so we could be made righteous. So it says he was defiled for our transgressions. Are y'all with me okay tonight? He was defiled for our sin. Bruised for our iniquities or sinfulness. Amen? Jesus at the cross received our penalty of sin, so we could be made righteous. And then it says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, this is the passage out of Isaiah that Peter quotes, and you know that we read here a few minutes ago. Isaiah says, with his stripes, we are healed. Looking forward to the cross, Peter, looking back at the cross, says, we were healed. It's a finished work. Amen. But notice here, he deals again with the sin issue before he gets to the healing issue. You must understand you are no longer a sinner to freely access the healing power of God. And if you can freely access the revelation that you've been made a new creation, sickness cannot stick to you. Can't do it. Symptoms of sickness are a direct result of entertaining condemnation mentality. To some level. Amen. Because if you really had the revelation of who you were, sickness couldn't connect to your physical body. I'm sure everybody loved that word, didn't they? Symptoms of sickness are directly correlatable to a lack of revelation who we are in Christ Jesus. if you really knew who you were, if we really knew who we were, I'm talking about the fullness of the revelation of righteousness, sickness could not stick to us. Lack couldn't stick to you. Depression couldn't stick to you. Amen? How's it written in Isaiah? In righteousness, you are established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Righteousness establishes you far from fear. Amen. Well, fear opens the door to sickness. Amen. Job said, that which I fear has come upon me. Righteousness elevates you above the curse. See, I don't believe sickness could stick to Jesus. Well, he was God. Well, you're made in the image of God as well. It couldn't stick to him because he knew who he was. Amen. He would say, does not belong to me. Amen. We have the same right to put on righteousness and have it clothe us. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Talking about fasting, proper motivation for fasting. Isaiah 58 verse 8 says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Amen. Then shalt thou call on the Lord, and shall answer. Or shall call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. It says here, righteousness goes before you. God's bringing forth healing, but righteousness goes in front of you. See, you put on righteousness revelation. You gain this mindset, I am not who I used to be. I'm no longer a failure, no longer a sinner, no longer a loser. I'm a king's kid. I'm a son of adoption, amen. Son of God, a joint heir with Christ. You put that mindset on, and it will act as the forerunner to you freely receiving all the other promises of God. You don't put on righteousness revelation, and it hinders all the other promises because you so entertain failure mindsets. Condemnation. Letting God down. Didn't do it good enough. Not enough word, not enough prayer. Not understand, there's a requirement to have word and prayer time. But the enemy will never let you know it was enough. The enemy will never tell you that your faith is... The enemy will never tell you your faith is sufficient unless it's not. He'll tell you your faith is sufficient if you've had no word time. Oh yeah, you don't need any more time in the word. You got plenty of faith. Oh yeah, you can move mountains. He's lying. Then when you do have enough faith, he says, no, you don't have enough. No, you can't do nothing. Amen. Righteousness keeps the devil out of your conversations. Amen. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N of righteousness, arise. Now, who would the S-U-N of righteousness be? It's got to be Jesus. Amen. I mean, he is the S-O-N and the S-U-N. Amen. It says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Here it says, the sun, the illumination of righteousness is going to arise. God wants to bring righteousness revelation to you as sun in the noonday. As the sun shines, amen. I'm about to be in some sunshine here in about 36 hours. Amen. Really, tomorrow at noon, so be hallelujah. I'm about to be in some sunshine. Amen. And in the sun, things are a whole lot more brightly illuminated than in the shadows. And God says, I'm going to have righteousness revelation rise upon you so you can receive of the healing power of God. We've been talking about righteousness in here for several weeks. And you need to know that healing and all the other promises of God are accelerated through your ability to receive of the revelation that you've been made a new creation. You are not who you used to be. We've been made new creations. James chapter 5. James 5, have you got it? Oh, wait for me. Verse 17. Well, let's back up. Verse 14. Isn't he sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now here again, he connects healing with forgiveness. It's not uncommon for me in a prayer line to stop and address sin in somebody's life. I don't do it real frequently, but sometimes I know condemnation is eating somebody's lunch. And I don't say, hey, the Lord says you're in major sin, da-da-da-da-da-da. Very often anyway. But what I will say is I need you to repeat after me before we pray for your healing. Quote this after me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because I got to get them in faith that they're worthy to receive of the healing power of God. Amen. I've got to get them in this mindset. I'm forgiven before I can get healing to be freely received. Because so many times when somebody's fighting condemnation, because you can feel the healing power of God, at least I can. When I pray for somebody for healing, I feel it. So I feel a power source come off of me, go down my arm, and if somebody's freely receiving, it just goes right out. I feel it come all over them. I mean, it's like, you know, they're just doused in glory, and healing happens. But if somebody comes up fighting condemnation, thinking, well, I'm not worthy, God would heal me. I don't have enough faith. Amen. Not been living good enough. Hollered at the kids, the wife, whatever, da, da, da. And I'll lay the same hand on them, same power, God, to heal. And I'll feel it go out through my arm, hit their head, and bounce right back, come right back. It's almost like it hits and just stalls right there. Just stops right there, and you're not feeling the full release. And the cause is not that the healing power is not there. It's that a worthiness mentality has not been established enough. So whenever you're laying hands on somebody, you must make sure to some level that the righteousness revelation has been received or forgiveness mentality has been established. Amen. He says, confess your faults or your errors one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He's saying there may be a necessity that you confess sin to get it out of your way so you can go on into receiving the power of God to be healed. Amen. Righteousness revelation accelerates the manifestation of what you've built your faith for. It keeps the devil out of you and God's business. See, when you go to say, God, I freely receive from you, it's none of the devil's business. But as long as he's got a condemnation window to come through, as long as there is an inkling of sin mentality. He's going to slip in and start whispering, even shouting, your unworthiness. And it's none of his business. Amen. But if we can put on righteousness, have it clothe us, lift up the breastplate of righteousness, shield us from condemnation, we can walk above sin mentality and receive freely of the power of God to be healed, or prospered, or free from oppression, to have joy, peace, whatever it might be. Everything comes through a revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Psalm 105. We'll close right here. Verse 36. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Now, it says here he smote the firstborn. What event was it took place where he smote the firstborn? It was the first Passover. This is talking about Israel coming out of Egypt. Amen. And when he killed the firstborn, those that had taken the blood and put it over their doorposts, over the lintels, were spared the death angel visiting their house. Amen. So Israel, their children lived because they went through the Passover sacrifice. Do you see that? So here he's saying, he smote the firstborn. In other words, the Passover took place. And after the Passover took place, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. The Old Testament initial Passover had enough residual glory in that release that it healed up to 2 million people. Amen. And empowered them to spoil the kingdom of Egypt. God healed a nation of 2 million people that none were sick or feeble when they left. And you think in our new covenant there's not enough power for us to be healed? Amen. The reason the people in the church in the end times aren't being healed at a higher level is because we do not know the power contained in the rebirth that we experience through Jesus Christ. Through the provision made at the cross for our healing. Amen. And our forgiveness. We get a hold of that. Look out. The kingdom is about to be preached throughout the world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get anything out of this tonight? You are not who you used to be. Put it on. Refuse condemnation mentality. Praise you, Jesus. Well, Father, I thank you for your word. Seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding, and cause us to step into the fullness of what you made available. We refuse to lose to the enemy. We refuse sickness. We refuse lack, and we refuse discouragement in every form. And we stir up the gift of God that's in us. Amen. Through the Spirit of God you placed upon our lives when we received Jesus Christ. We choose to embrace all you're doing in and around us. We thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. If you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray for you. Amen. Otherwise, hug some necks, share the love of God.